Thank you, Holly. Boy, that was quick. That was too quick. Sure like to have her come back and sing another. Wonder if this time, like to have all the deacons, if they will. If you're a deacon of a church, you're an ordained deacon, and you're here this morning, we'd like for you to come forward too. If you're a pastor, minister, we'd also like for you to come forward this morning. So initially, one of the deacons asked me this morning, Jim, are you going to be calling for all the deacons or just the active board? And I thought to myself, well, probably just call for the active board, but I'd like to have all the deacons. If you're an ordained deacon, if you're an ordained minister, we'd encourage you to come forward as we prepare to have this service this morning. Amen. Amen. And now I'd ask Stan and Deb if they'll come forward. Stan's used to being back there in the back corner. Love you. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, the Bible says, or Paul, having spoken to the prerequisites of a pastor, Paul now turns to the prerequisites of a deacon. And Paul writes, he says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree, and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's always an honor for this pastor to be able to preside over a service where men are being ordained into or ordained to a deaconship. And we have had over the years that I've been here, going on my 10th year now, some wonderful, some fine men come and serve on the board of deacons. And I consider Brother Stan Jones one of those fine men. Stan has always been available to do anything you needed him to do. If there was some function going on at the church or some activity that needed help, Stan was always available, always made himself available. When the church called, when the church gave the nod to Stan to serve on the deacon board, the first time, Stan felt like the Lord just wasn't calling him at that time. And so he faithfully, listening to the Lord's voice, he declined to serve. But this time, as the Lord called, he almost reluctantly, you know, when the Lord calls, you need to move, and Stan knows that. And the thing is, Stan is answering the call to serve on the deacon board, not because he wants to, not because it's a position that he wants to hold, because it has some recognition or some wonderful value or whatever to it. Stan is coming to serve on the deacon board because God is calling him to come serve on the deacon board. Makes all the difference in the world. Sometimes I'll ask men. Sometimes there's folks that want to serve on the deacon board. They're ready. They don't understand why they're not on the deacon board. And yet, when you have men like that who want to serve, who are upset because they haven't been called to serve or something like that, you know that they're probably those are the folks you really don't need on the deacon board. And so the deacons that we have here at Powhatan, I love them. I appreciate them so much. They love one another, and they love the church family. And Stan Jones is one of those men. Brother Stan, love you, buddy. The appointment given to you by your fellow members is one that should be entered into with solemnity and faith. We are not sufficient of ourselves for such a responsibility, but God, who has called us, is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. It is imperative that you guard your conduct and your speech. In a special sense, you're an example and a model. The measure of your godliness and zeal will be copied by others. Be careful of your walk, and give attention as well to the office entrusted to you, as unto the Lord, fulfill all of its functions. By accepting this trust, you indicate without reservation your commitment and your loyalty to the message, the doctrine, the Constitution, and the worldwide program of Original Free Will Baptist. Therefore, be faithful that you may enter in with joy into the presence of the Lord, to whom you shall render account. Now, Brother Stan, do you now accept your office as a sacred and solemn trust from the Lord Jesus Christ, promising him and this church to faithfully fulfill your responsibilities as a deacon of this church to the best of your ability? If so, please acknowledge by saying, "I do." Will you strive with God's help to be an example of Christ in the midst of those whom he has set you as a leader, holding the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience? If so, please acknowledge by saying, "I will." Amen. Can we have the congregation stand, please? Do you, the members of Powhatan, acknowledge and receive Brother Stan Jones as your deacon, entering in with him into the spirit of the vow he has just made to God and to this church? If so, please acknowledge by saying, "We do." Do you promise to honor him and encourage him, cooperate with him, and pray for him as the Word of God admonishes? If so, likewise say, "We do." Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I'm going to ask Stan and Deb if they'll take a place at the altar, and we'll have the prayer of dedication. Gentlemen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, what a joy it is to come into your presence, Father. What a joy it is to know you as our personal Savior. And Father, how wonderful it is to know brothers and sisters who love you, and Father, who desire to share you with others. Father, I thank you for Brother Stan. I thank you for Deb, Father. I thank you for their example and their testimony. And Father, this morning, Lord, as Stan comes and makes his commitment, Father, to serve in the position of a deacon of Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church, Father, we know that you called him to this position. And so, Father, we would ask you, Lord, to bless him, comfort him, Father, give him peace, give him wisdom and understanding, Father, as the men of the church desire to lead the church in a way that's pleasing to you, that wisdom and that understanding and that truth might likewise come through the heart of your servant, Stan Jones. Father, for his wife, Deb, Father, we appreciate her so much, faithful, dedicated, loves you, loves the Lord, Father, and loves the congregation of Powhatan. Father, we ask you, too, to bless her, too, as she will be a comfort and certainly an encouragement to Stan. Father, bless this couple, Father. Bless Stan. You get praise, get honor, and glory. For we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Let me help you up. Let's give them a round of applause, shall we? Love you, buddy.
Love you, too.
Would you like to share something with them?
Would
We love you. God bless you. You may be seated. And the time we have left here this morning would invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. And when you're there, if you'll say amen, I'd appreciate that. It's not hard to find Genesis chapter 1, is it? In verse 28, as we come to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, we find that God has finished his creative work. He's given Adam and Eve a specific command. And I want us to read that command together, and it's verse 28. Can we read that together? And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to know you as our personal Savior. Father, how wonderful it is to know, Father, in the dire straits of the times we live in, Father, as we look out across the Atlantic, Father, we see the warring that's going on in the Middle East. Father, we know, as Brother Bunk has already shared this morning in his prayer, these are the signs of the times, Father. You may not be coming today. You may not be coming tomorrow or next week. In fact, it may be maybe years before you come. But Father, I pray that if there's one here that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, I pray that you'd impress upon their heart today that you might come for them today. And Father, that if they don't know you as a personal Savior, that they need to get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to make their commitment to you, Father, and that they need to come into the kingdom of God. Because if in fact you do come today for your church, it'll be everlasting too late for them if they walk out the door and having not made a commitment to Jesus Christ. Father, we know that you have blessed us in a wonderful and mighty way. Father, so many times as I've heard the prayer request this morning, Father, and we see some families, Father, that are hurting and suffering in a variety of ways. Father, we lift them up to you even now, Father, and ask you to minister to them, Father. Give them peace and give them comfort of heart. Father, in their needs and their physical needs, Father, we would pray that you would meet that in a glorious and wonderful way. Father, for those this morning that are here in their prayer request, Father, and they're lifting up or they're petitioning you on behalf of someone else, I pray too, Father, that you would move in a wonderful way upon that situation. Bless, get praise, get honor, and glory. But Father, this morning, above all things, I would pray that this congregation, as they leave this sanctuary this morning and go out into the world, Father, they'll go out into the world realizing that the world needs the testimony of the Christian. The world needs to see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have given us that wonderful commission, Father. You've given us that great ability and that great blessing, Father, of being ambassadors for you. And Father, if the world is going to see the Lord Jesus Christ, the world is going to need to see the Lord Jesus Christ through your people as we minister and as we share. Father, help us to walk a closer walk with thee, Father, and help us to be a minister of the good news of Jesus Christ this week as we enter into a new week. This may be our last week on the face of this earth, Father, but if it is, Father, we pray that we each and every one of us would be busy about your business, Father, of reaching lost souls for the gospel. Father, you bless, you get praise, get honor and glory. Comfort, Father, that one that's hurting so many different ways, Father, and just get praise, get honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, let me read it one more time. It says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And so God was basically saying, here, Adam and Eve, It's all yours. He gave them freedom. He gave them responsibility. And he gave them authority. Can I say that again? He gave them freedom. He gave them responsibility. And he gave them authority. And it wasn't long before Adam rejected God's word and handed all of his freedom and all of his authority over to Satan. But the one thing that Adam could never hand over to Satan was his responsibility to God. My friend, you and I this morning have a responsibility to God. I don't care where you, I don't care what you're doing, where you're going. I don't care what religion you subscribe to. You will answer to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob one of these days. You have a responsibility to God. You can't pass that responsibility on to this pastor. You can't pass that responsibility on to Stan Jones as a deacon of this church or any other deacon or a Sunday school teacher. The responsibility that you have toward God is your responsibility, and you will give an account for that. Every soul is responsible to God. Though Adam and Eve were now living in the black world of Satan, they were still responsible to God for their actions and their inactions, just as we are today. God gave Adam and Eve a commandment to be fruitful and to multiply and to replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. But they came way short of accomplishing the task. If you'll turn to Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, we find that Cain's cursed line of men and Seth's line of the sons of God began to intermarry with the daughters of Cain's line. Cain's cursed line of men and Seth's line of the sons of God began to intermarry with the daughters of Cain's line. Verse 1 says in Genesis chapter 6, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Seth's godly line had now been corrupted, not by the devil, but by their own lustful hearts. They married one wife after another, all ungodly wives who turned their hearts away from God. And the whole world became a godless society, and wickedness prevailed upon the earth." My goodness, you look out across the world today and you see what's going on. We are quickly coming to that very state that we find the children of Israel or the God's creation in Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis 6, 5, verse 5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart, or the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." I love that verse. You know, you and I have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We're not perfect. We're deserving of the same judgment that the folks got back in Genesis chapter 7 and chapter 8. We deserve to be cast away, but the Lord Jesus has blessed us with his grace and with his mercy. And we can read in Genesis 6 through 8 about the great flood that God brought upon the earth to cleanse it from all corruption. And Noah and his family were aboard the ark for just a little over a year before they stepped off of the ark onto dry land again. They were on the ark for right at 371 days. 371 days. Many people say, well, you know, the flood was only 40 days and 40 nights. Well, that's right. That's right. But the flood stayed, the ship stayed above the surface of the earth for a long period of time. For over a year before, it was over a year before they stepped off of that ark again. Noah and his family were aboard the ark for just over a year before they stepped off of the ark onto dry land. And again, God had saved them and God had spared them. And now God gave them a commandment. I want you to notice the commandment that God gives Noah and see if it doesn't ring familiar to you. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1 says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them," what? "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." And in chapter 10, makes it pretty clear that the family of Noah began to multiply as the Lord had commanded. And as we come to chapter 11, we find that they also began to move toward the east. Chapter 11. The Bible says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there." Now, what was the commandment God had given to Noah and his children? Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. But in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there." They stopped. You know, God calls Christians into the ministry for the very purpose of ministering. You know, God called you into the kingdom of God. And if you're here today and you're a Christian, you have a ministry. You know, all of us are priests. All of us are servants of the Lord. Every one of us has the Great Commission. And yet some of us have just, we've come into the kingdom. We've received Christ as our Lord and Savior, but we just stopped. We've just stopped. And that's, you know, that's one of the reasons that there's so many in this world that don't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm wondering if your next door neighbor knows anything about Jesus Christ. People say, well, you know, that's, The story is so old, everybody ought to know about the Lord Jesus. Did you know that there are people today that have never, they're probably within a stone's throw of where you live, that have never heard the true message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? They don't know about it. God gave these people a commandment. Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. But Nimrod, who was the leader of these people, decided that they had moved far enough. They decided to stop on the plains of Shinar, which is today Iraq. So here God has given a great commission to Noah, but his children just forgot about that commission and go about to establish a kingdom for themselves. And my friends, let me tell you something. The United Nations today is a remake of this Tower of Babel that we're going to be reading about. Here in chapter 11 in the Tower of Babel, God confounds languages to separate people so that they won't be coming together and creating such mischief as they try to create here at the Tower of Babel. Today, the United Nations is man's best attempt to rebuild that tower, if you will. Verse 3. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick. You ought to circle the word let us. Or the words let us. They said one to another, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they made brick. They had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to again, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. That's kind of self-centered, isn't it? You don't read anywhere in there where they're talking about worshiping God or obeying God's commandment or following God's will for their lives. Nothing there. They're saying, let us build us a city. Let us build us a tower. Let us build us a name for ourselves. Nimrod led the people away from the word of God. That's exactly what he did. God said, I want you to replenish the earth. I want you to move out. I want you to go out and spread the gospel. That's what God calls the church to do today. Nimrod led the people away from the word of God and encouraged them to rely upon their own strengths and their own imaginations to create a world that would celebrate the achievements of men rather than the blessings of God, rather than a world that would serve the living God. The American Humanist Association, as I shared one Wednesday night not too long ago with our congregation, the American Humanist Association, working with the National Education Association establishing the educational agenda for our children today, affirms the following in their organizational charter. Listen to these principles that the American Humanist Association established for their organization, and as I just mentioned, the National Education Association is in coalition with the American Humanist Association. If you want to know why Christ can't be mentioned in the schools, here's the reason. The organizational charter says, first, humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. Second, humanists believe that man is a part of nature, and that he has emerged as a result of a continuous process, evolution. Thirdly, humanists believe that this life is all and enough, and there is no guaranteed paradise waiting just beyond the grave. Does that sound like somebody that's trusting in the Word of God? Does that sound like a group of people that believe in the Word of God? The following is a statement which appeared in the January-February 1983 issue of the Humanist official publication. It's the article entitled, A New Religion for a New Age, and it was written by John Dunphy. Quote, the Bible is an incredibly dangerous book. It and the various Christian churches which are parasitic upon it have been directly responsible for most of the wars, persecutions, and outrages which humankind has perpetrated upon itself over the past 2,000 years. The writer says, I am convinced that the battle for humankind's future must be waged and won in the public classroom by teachers who correctly perceive their role as the proselytizers of a new faith. These teachers must embody the same dedication as the most rabid fundamentalist preacher. For they will be ministers of another sort, utilizing a classroom instead of a pulpit to convey humanist values in whatever subject they teach. The classroom must and will become an arena of conflict between the old and the new. The rotting corpse of Christianity, together with all of its adjacent evils and misery, and the new faith of humanism. Together with all of its adjacent evils and misery, and the new faith of humanism. And so what the American Humanist Association wants to do, has done successfully, has thrown out the old and brought in the new, a new religion. Our children are learning things. Have you noticed how the children are learning more about the world and, as opposed to the United States of America? Upon our own Capitol here, over the last session, as the House and Senate were together, there was a petition to put the Pledge of Allegiance back in the schools. It never came to the floor. Why didn't it come to the floor? Because the American Humanist Association, the National Education Association, has no desire to teach people about national history anymore, even though they do. They're concerned about teaching about the world. about the world and how it came about and all of those things. And so it's out with the old and in with the new. Out with God and His ways and in with man and his ways, like Nimrod on the plains of Shinar. Nimrod said to the people, "We know better. And we know how to build things and we know how to get things done." And so as we look back to verse 3 and 4, five times Nimrod's crew refers to us. Five times we find that their worship is self-centered and self-motivated. Their desire and their goal is to make a name for themselves. And in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, the Lord says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall what? Gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul." Nimrod intended for the people to maintain unity in opposition to God. That's what the United Nations is trying to do today. And to make a name for themselves. But God had other plans. In verse 5 it says, And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." Man left to his own imagination will move further and further away from God. His worship will be vain and without purpose. His accomplishments will be short-lived. And in the end, hell will be his home. And so God in his grace and mercy intervenes in man's life. God comes down in the all-powerful us, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to put an end to man's devilish ways. I'm so thankful, you know, today that God has given to us as children of His the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, the devil wants to rob us of the love and the joy and the happiness we have as people of God. He does. I was talking to a gentleman this week who has a situation in his life where all of a sudden there's come depression and anxiety. And doubt on a member of his family. And yet that member is such a wonderful instrument, has been used in the past by God in such a powerful and wonderful way. And now what has happened is that Satan has stepped in there. You know, we're in a battle against Satan. We're in a battle against Satan. When you're out preaching the gospel, when you're out sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody, it's amazing how quickly the devil will sneak in there somehow. Either the phone will ring or somebody will interrupt you some way, shape, or form. They're ministers of the devil. They come to disrupt your ministry. And you know, what we need to realize today is that if we're down, if we feel like we've just lost our zeal for serving the Lord, that's the devil. That's the devil. And you need to grab hold of God's Word, get into God's Word, rebuke the devil, and get on with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're running out of time. We're running out of time. The devil's coming after the Christians. Certainly, he doesn't care anything about the world. The world already belongs to him. He's coming after the Christians. And today, Christians need to stand up and be accounted for. Stand up and let your light shine before men. The devil wants to do everything in the world to suppress that testimony. My goodness, our young people in schools not being taught anything about the Lord there. And of course, and to be honest with you, listen, it shouldn't be the responsibility of the school anyway to teach our children about the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be in the home. If you teach your children about the Lord Jesus in the home, the school will take care of itself. The school will take care of itself. And so God comes down in verse 7 and he says, let us go down and there confound their languages, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the languages of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Literally, billions of people on God's green earth are rejecting God today. And they have set out to create their own city, their own kingdom, and their own religion. But God will one day come down again and put an end for all eternity to man's work towards self-exaltation. Today, the new Tower of Babel of the United Nations is falling all over itself trying to bring about world peace. But world peace will not come until who comes? The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. But there's a great news for the Christians today. For you and I as Christians, this very day, this very hour, these very precious moments of your life, we can enjoy the peace of the Lord in our heart and in our home Because we're not casting all of our cares upon the government. We're certainly not casting all our cares upon the United Nations. But God encouraged us to cast all of our cares upon who? Upon Him. Upon Him. Do you think that the Israelites decided that before they go across the line and go into Beirut or go into Lebanon, do you think that the Israelites were sitting back wondering, oh, should we get the approval of the United States of America? Oh, should we get the approval of the United Nations? No, they didn't. I believe they were trusting in God. They had been attacked. They responded. They responded. My goodness, you and I as Christians, you know, we shouldn't worry about whether so-and-so, how so-and-so is going to feel about what God's laid on our heart to share with them or with anybody else. We ought to stand up and be counted. We ought to stand up and move ahead for the Lord Jesus. Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. There's a little, this week in the Daily Bread, I think it was Friday, there's a little poem there. It says, "Under His wings I am safely abiding, though the night deepens and the tempests are wild. Still I can trust Him, and I know He'll keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am His child." Amen. God has put a hedge around every Christian. He has put a hedge around every Christian. If the devil somehow has got in and punched you in the nose or whatever, you ought to rejoice and be glad in it, because God has given you an opportunity to be a testimony, to exercise your faith in Him. You know, that was Job. Job didn't know what was happening to him. But, buddy, he never gave up hope in the Lord Jesus or in God. The Daily Bread closes with this. It says, when we have nothing left but God, when we have nothing left but God, hey, God is enough. Amen? God is enough. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is. I don't know, maybe if you came this morning because somebody invited you to come, and maybe you're not a Christian. But let me tell you something. God wants you to be a Christian. God goes out. God calls to every human. God doesn't want anybody to be lost. The Bible says that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes upon Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you what? Amen. Isn't that what we need? Isn't that what we want? Well, I tell you what, we're not resting. I tell you this, you may go home today, you may take a little nap this afternoon, and you may get up and you may think you've rested, but you've never experienced any rest like God's rest that He's going to give you one of these days. Buddy, even the best rest on this side of glory is a miserable twinkling of an eye. When we come home into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to give us rest that we've never had before, and that's what we're looking for. Every soul's looking for rest. I trust that you are. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus this morning. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. God has made it simple for you, my friend. Very simple for you. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen? Amen. You know the Lord Jesus this morning? By the way, when Bunk said the signs of the times are evident in the Middle East, he is absolutely right. God is coming, and He's coming sooner now than later. And my friend, if you've never made a commitment to Christ, today could be the last opportunity you ever have to make that commitment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. Father, we thank You, Father, for just making us aware, Father, of the things that are going on in this world, Father, how the devil is twisting and turning and mimicking and tricking, Father, even the those that are even close to You, Father. He still slips in there and throws curves. Father, I pray that every curve that the devil delivers up to Your saints, we take that bat and we knock that curve right out of the park. Father, I ask Your blessing upon Your people this morning, and I pray, Father, that as we come nearer and nearer to that time of Your return, Father, and as the devil becomes more powerful and the devil begins to work harder against us, Father, that we'll stand on the solid rock and stand up and be accounted for, and just rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ and know that as we walk through and as we walk toward that wall, Father, that You walk with us. And as we get to that wall, we'll find that You'll lift us over it and we'll be on our way in a wonderful and a beautiful testimony to others, Father, who may try to bring other walls against us. Father, we thank You for lifting us up. We thank You, Father, for forgiving us of our sins. Father, we thank You for a home in glory that You've given us. And we thank You, Father, for the Holy Spirit that ministers to our heart and gives us peace and contentment. Father, I ask your blessing upon each and every one that's come this way this morning. Father, again, we thank you for Stan and Debbie. Father, we ask you, Father, to minister to them. Bless them, Father. And Lord, together, help us to move ahead for the Lord Jesus Christ. But we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And all God's children said, Amen.